Hey, before your Q3 call, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Great. Did you include the differentiation angle the CMO asked for?
Already in there. Three angles no competitor's using right now. Just need your approval.
Approved. Thanks. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at monday.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
No. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highway Cantina in Edo. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Wins it in the 10th.
Kevin Eschenfelder, Space City Home Network, that's the call. Jeremy Pena's walk-off last night. The Astros get the win. We are broadcasting live here from Highway Cantina from noon to 6. Today, Paul, you've already got your...
You stumped me. I thought I was going to sing Jeremy Pena here, but I got my tall Texan margarita. We are at my personal downtown heaven, the Highway Cantina. Joe George, amazing.
I got the watermelon mezcal margarita.
Oh.
It's very good. Very good.
You're so fancy. So, look, we're here today all afternoon until 6. You have heard me tell you about this amazing place by the Astros Stadium so many times. So if you're going to the Astros game today, stop on by, say hi before you go into the stadium. If you're going to the game and you're looking for something to do afterwards, come on by. We're going to have a party, and I promise you that I will be intoxicated by the end of the show.
I mean, we're drinking before the show starts, so we're on pace for yes.
I waited until the show began like a true professional.
I didn't.
Slowly see my descent into madness. Joe's already there.
Because Dez is here, one of our favorite listeners. She's going to the Astros game, and she listens to Paul. She's here to enjoy margarita and then go to the game. Mm-hmm. So I started drinking before the show started.
Huzzah!
Cheers.
Listen to the madness in the background. This place rules. And look, last night was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. They were so clutch.
I've got my Jeremy Pena MV Pena t-shirt on. He gets the walk-off hit. You saw Kyle Tucker with another two home run game.
Yep.
Yordan Alvarez finally went yard. John Singleton is doing everything he can to stop the inevitable return of Jose Abreu to the starting lineup, as discussed in a somewhat hostile back and forth by John and Lance this morning.
Oh, really?
The vibes are good. John was just trying to say, look, Jose Abreu is going to start. And Lance was like, why? John's like, I'm just the messenger here. So... lots of things to be happy about today, and I thought what was most interesting, Joe, after the game was hearing Joe Espada say that that's maybe the most adversity that they've overcome this season. It really is. And you had clutch hits digging you out of a hole. I mean, that's been the big issue for the Astros, and sure, okay, maybe a few solo home runs, but you look for big hits from your big bats in big situations, and amazingly, that really hasn't happened that much this year. The runners in scoring position issue has been a problem. So, look, it's the Angels. They're not a real baseball
team. Win's
a
win.
But exactly right, Joe. And the hope is that this is going to awaken those bats in big-time moments in ways that we remember them delivering back in 2022.
Yeah, I mean, and even what they're doing now, Jeremy Pena is just... whew. He is on a different level, Paul. This is a whole new baseball player.
You know I love him, mainly because it allows me to sing Jeremy Pena. And we all know the city of Houston would probably, like the female population of Houston would, if they could, tackle Jeremy Pena and forcibly remove
his clothes.
You see
the photo they posted last night?
I did not. Well, you're right.
He's lifting
his shirt. He did a thirst trap.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They posted a Jeremy Pena thirst trap after the W.
He knows he's hot. That's the problem. But all of these people in Houston, Jeremy Pena, have my babies. I mean, after a thirst trap like that, I mean
a walk-off, a thirst trap?
The DMs be flooded right now, and I mean, he's playing incredibly. I thought he would take a step forward this year, but I did not know that he would be able to recapture what he was during the 2022 playoffs.
And that's more.
It's exciting to see. It really is. Again,
this is a superstar jump.
Man.
Like, I'm not. I don't know if this is, like, who he is forever. This is way beyond World Series and ALCS MVP Jeremy Peña. This is another level. Whatever adjustments they made to his swing, and they've been working on it since the beginning, right? Like, if you go back to his rookie year, he had this massive leg kick. In the middle of that season, I remember talking to Blummer and Steve Sparks and those guys about it, and they dropped it dramatically. He went into last year. He made another tweak. And when he did, he lost all of his power. That's why he had no home runs from, like, what, June, July to the end of the season. And then this year, he's got the power. He's getting on base. He plays incredible defense. Jeremy Peña is playing at a level I didn't think he was capable of. He is right now, he's arguably the second best player on this team, only because Kyle Tucker is an MVP.
Yeah, and I mean, don't forget that Jose Altuve is among the American League hit leaders. I mean, look, they have the number one batting average in baseball. I know that's not the end-all, be-all, but it used to be. And I think what's interesting about what Peña's doing, and you mentioned some of the things, Joe, that he's worked on over the years, the way that he is dominating is old school. It is a guy who is getting hits, but he's also delivering for power from time to time. And it's not all about the power all the time. Sometimes he's just saying, you know what, I'm just going to slap it into the outfield. And, I mean, I miss seeing that in baseball. Mm. One of the reasons that growing up as a Red Sox fan watching Manny Ramirez, I liked him so much was, yeah, you knew he had incredible power. But Ramirez was just an incredible hitter. And he would just put the ball wherever he wanted on the field. And I know we've seen lots of hitters that have a little bit of that. And I'm not comparing Jeremy Peña to Manny, especially seeing as there's some other things with Manny Ramirez among other players in that era where you think it's a little bit nefarious. But he is at another level right now. And, I mean, we're talking a nearly two-month sample size. So superstar, crazy when you first hear it. But he has recaptured a level that we saw him play at in the playoffs after a sophomore slump. And I hope it continues. Yep. It's been really fun. And, I mean, it allows me to sing Jeremy Peña from time to time. You got to do it at some point.
I will.
Good, okay.
I promise.
You got to, like, surprise me. Yeah,
It can't be – maybe not even today. Maybe, like, I'll try to do, like, after, like, an 0 for 5 day. Ooh, for Peña. I'll be like
– No. You can't do that.
I'll try to be the thing that turns it around. But, yeah, what Joe Espada said after the game, like one of the most important or just, like, the way they overcame – yesterday's game, going down multiple times, keep coming back. But it goes back to what we talked about, you know, in the 2 o'clock segment yesterday. When we talked about how important is last night's game after the disaster Fromber stuff that happened the day before. And then Javier gets a little rocked. We're going to talk about him a good amount in the next segment, but he's not good in yesterday's game. And you persevere and you overcome and you just keep going and you're getting it from Tucker and Alvarez and Peña and, like, and then Singleton comes through. Yainer Diaz, like,
yeah,
everything.
And
then
too.
The guy we haven't even mentioned yet, it's so funny to think back to the beginning of the season when we spent, like, 2, 3, 4, 5 segments, whatever it was, bitching about Josh Hader and the fact that he would only pitch the 9th inning, and now he is under contract with the Astros. Maybe he wasn't stretched out all the way. I don't know.
I think Joe Espada forgot to ask. I legitimately think Joe Espada, as he learns to be more authoritative as a leader, I legitimately think – don't make that face.
No problem. Paul, here's the problem.
He's learning to be a leader.
I'm putting my hand on my face, and the reason why I'm putting my hand on my face, Paul, is because I think you're right. I think you're right. I think Joe Espada forgot to ask. Hey, Josh, now that you have $95 million on the way, can you get more than 3 outs?
He was
but
great.
Holy crap, was he good last night.
He was great, and you know, he pitches more in these situations. He's not going to be uncomfortable, and he needed to. You know, I thought for a second you were going to bring up Taylor Scott, too, who had another nice performance
awesome
as well.
Too.
I mean, really, last night, they overcame a lot in that. Christian Javier was not good, which is frustrating. And Brian Abreu had another slip-up. And you are concerned about the highest-paid arms in your bullpen to an extent with Presley and with Montero and with what you were hoping Abreu could one day be. And you overcome all of that because the bats took over. And I mean, if we look at the Astros right now, they have a lot of depth when it comes to their pitching, some of which is not even playing right now. But the offense is clearly the strength of the team. I think just like I heard John Granato say going into the year, there's a strong case to be made that this is the best lineup in baseball, especially now that Jose Abreu's not playing.
Well, for like two more days.
The negative vibes are already here. But
Chaz was so good in his first game back.
Yeah. Well, listen, we at the very least with Chaz, like, we've seen Chaz deliver. And, yeah, Jose Abreu, he had the playoffs last year. And really what you're hoping for is that whatever Jose Abreu found in West Palm Beach is something similar to what Jeremy Peña was able to find. Mm-hmm. I mean, clearly there's somebody that works for the Astros and works with their hitters that is capable of simplifying things and making the swings less crappy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, last night's game was just everything you – after the way it started and the way the day before went, last night's game was everything. You get another victory today. You win the series. You win 2 out of 3. That's all that really matters right now. Fromber's start becomes a distant memory. We'll do Don with Dana Brown at 1 o'clock. He addressed that it was addressed, the Fromber stuff, is the way that I'll put it.
Okay. He got a stern talking to.
Sounds like
Is that
it.
Like the International Criminal Court? Like, he's giving arrest warrants to both Hamas and Israel?
Now, since we talked about, you know, comparing Fromber to my 3-year-old yesterday, I'm assuming that that conversation with Fromber was not a yelling. It was a stern talking to. It was like a Dana Brown disappointed dad. It was like, we've all had that. Like, sometimes that's worse than getting yelled at. Like, when you can tell your parents are disappointed in you. I'd imagine that's what the conversation with Fromber was like.
There's this song that is stuck in my head eternally, Joe, and I can't get it out. And I know when I'm a dad, if that ever happens, that this is going to happen to me all the time with kids' songs. But I remember when I was like 9 at the hospital in the waiting for my sister in the emergency room. They had this cartoon called Madeline on TV.
Yeah.
It's based off of the books. And there's a point where Madeline is just being a little, honestly, a bitch to this kid named like Pepito or something like that. And she sings a song to him and she says, "Did you learn your lesson, you naughty, naughty boy? Did you learn your lesson, you naughty, naughty boy?" And I'm wondering if that's what Dana Brown did.
They just like pulled it up on YouTube and just hit play.
It's a slideshow and they're just looking at him as it plays. I don't know why that song stuck in my head. Look it up if you want
that's
to.
So
to
funny.
Have
like,
an
what a, what
ear
a
infection.
Random pull that you just pulled out
no,
of your
it's
brain.
A curse. There's so much. I think the curse of working in this industry where there's so much audio is that you hear things and you remember them and they stick with you forever. And some of them are things you don't want to be remembered.
No, I'm going to be on my deathbed and then we're remembering 9-7, Brian. Like, that's that's
every interception
doesn't
has a story.
Doesn't matter, Brian.
1-877 cars for kids.
Oh, I'm so glad. That song only gets played during, like, John and Lance's show.
Oh, I didn't know we played
it. Sometimes we pull it from, like,
that
Big ESPN.
Great.
It's not our sponsor. It's okay.
Oh, okay.
We just get forced to run
Got
it.
Got bills to pay. Like,
I love that one.
That one I love. But there's so many things stuck in my ear holes for all time. And that's one of them. And Fromber, okay, that's good to know, Joe, before we hear from Dana later in the show, that they had the meeting with him.
King of Twitch, I do apologize for this, because King of Twitch is saying here, Astros positive Wednesday.
Yeah, no, it was our highway cantina.
No negativity will be tolerated. The problem is that I have real questions about Christian Javier and the way the Astros have handled him, considering the fact that he was touching 88 last night. And that's about it. We'll get into it next here on Glant and George, broadcasting live from Highway Cantina on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Let me tell you about my friends at the Highway Cantina. I am drinking a Tall Texan Margarita. It's $9.75. This thing is amazing. People are walking in. The baseball game's about to get started. This is your go-to spot in downtown Houston before any sporting event, because it's right by the baseball stadium, it's right by the basketball arena, it's right by the soccer stadium as well. And there's so many awesome things that they have here. It's not just the margaritas or the watermelon mezcal that Joe has. It's also the food that they have here. Fajitas, fantastic. The salsa verde, which I can see in front of me, it's making my mouth water. For the chips, amazing. The fajitas, chicken fajitas in particular, are really good. Some of the best I've had. You got wood-fired oysters? Are you kidding me? It's the Highway Cantina. Guys, this place is amazing. And maybe you're not going to the ball game. Maybe you're just downtown and you're looking for a place to eat, to go for a happy hour, to take on a date, to impress the boss. This is your go-to place for all of that. It's the Highway Cantina. Come on down and tell them Paul Gallant sent you.
ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highway Cantina in Edo. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Gallant and George, broadcasting live from Highway Cantina in Edo. Come on out before the Astros game, after the Astros game. If the Astros get up by 8 runs, why waste your money on expensive margaritas inside the stadium? Come hang out with us. We're going to be here until 6.
Honestly, just skip the game.
Yeah, skip the game.
You know, what if
the food's better here, the drinks are better here, Paul's here.
That's true.
So it's like all the good things are here.
And also, what if a derecho hits?
A derecho.
You know what? I'm going to use the weather as fear porn. If a derecho hits, there's certain spots in Minute Maid Park where you won't be safe. But at least based off the last derecho, you'll be okay here. And the margaritas, as Joe said. They're really, really good. So come on out, hang out before the game, after the game. Again, this place, I cannot overstate how awesome it is. I go here once a week. I go out of my way to go here once a week. It's incredible.
Yeah, I think that's going to start becoming a bucket list for me, too. Once a week, come hang out, get some margaritas. It's not far from work for us, so maybe we should just start doing post-show meetings here.
Yeah.
With margaritas and fajitas.
Game, but we won't get nothing done.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just going to get shampoo.
It's just bonding between you, me, and Sean.
It would be good bonding, but I have no self-control, so most of the bonding would be you guys figuring out how to get me home.
Uber is the way.
Are you going to pay for it? See,
it's better than driving you.
These days, dude, Uber has gone up.
Exactly.
In prices.
I guess I'm driving you then.
Like crazy.
Uber is way too expensive now.
It's nuts.
All right, so yesterday, Christian Javier, he only pitched 4 innings. He got two, gives a couple earned runs in the first. It's not a good day. He's touching 88, 89, which this is a guy that, 2 years ago, is pitching 93 miles an hour.
And he's got that rising fastball.
Yeah, and he's just doesn't look good at all yesterday. He hasn't looked good since he came back from his one rehab start.
Yeah, and honestly, if you want to expand the sample size, the inconsistency, and we've brought this up before, that he's had since becoming a starter full-time has been a little bit concerning. It's not like they've signed him to a Lance McCullers kind of contract where you're paying, $15-plus million dollars a year. I think it's 17, in fact, for Lance McCullers. But with Abreu right now – excuse me, not Abreu, sorry. God. Just all constantly on my mind, the looming return. But with Javier – I don't know what it's going to take to get that consistency back, but, man, 88 miles per hour is truly concerning.
Big time.
Because he came back from an injury. I thought all was good.
Well, I mean, Joe Espada said yesterday after the game he isn't concerned about Javier health-wise, but he acknowledged that Javier, quote, isn't quite there yet. He said it's a mechanics issue, not just a health issue. Which, okay, that makes me feel 10% better that he's not hurt again. But why is Jose Urquidy, Paul, making 4 rehab starts, getting right, and Christian Javier made 1? I guess they needed him back desperately, they felt. But if he's out there and he's not good mechanically, you have to adjust. And he came back after 1 rehab start. He's touching 88, 89, 90 in his last couple starts. So the fastball is not there. If he's not right mechanically, you got to figure it out. Take a break. Having him out there to throw 88 mile an hour slow balls is not worth it right now. They have to figure out what's wrong with him quick. I also don't believe them that it's not health. Like Houston Astros organization is not honest with us enough about what's going on health-wise
and
with
their
players.
To be fair to them, no team is, sure. But you're right. This feels concerning if that's what it is. And okay, maybe he's like Justin Verlander said,
it's been well documented that I've been working with my mechanics. And, you know, I can go to bed after a long, hard-fought battle with another batter and put my head on the pillow with my lovely wife next to me. He didn't say that part. But
you're right. There's something up. The velocity down that much? I mean, that was the strength of Javier, is that fastball is just tough to pick up for whatever reason. And now all of a sudden, it doesn't seem like he's capable of throwing that pitch anymore, at least from a velocity perspective. Maybe he's abandoned it entirely. Maybe he feels like teams have caught up to him. Again, I don't know what's going on in his head and the brain trust about the game plan for pitchers on a day-to-day basis that Fromber ignores from time to time. But something's up. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, if it's just the mechanics thing, they have to figure it out. 5-1-2. Joe, you whine too much. Good gosh. Okay. Sorry, I don't feel it's acceptable that a player that you paid is throwing 88 miles an hour in this Astros organization who can't get their head out of their ass sometimes and figure out the best way to bring back players from injuries and rehab starts, and they seem to do it wrong all the time. This is an organization that didn't know which of Jordan or how many of his hands were hurt. This is an organization where Lance McCullers has not pitched for this team in like 4 years. So, yes, I whine too much from the 5-1-2.
So,
yes, I whine too much. Maybe.
Well, listen, I mean, that's our
job.
Oh,
well.
We're paid complainers, first of all. Second of all.
Fair.
I think it's really, Joe, because in the first segment we were so positive. So we were good cop first segment and we're bad cop now.
Yeah.
We're bad cop.
No, they don't like it.
Do you like being a bad cop or a good cop better?
I like being a good cop more often, unless you do something like what Fromber did, then I really enjoy being the bad cop.
Okay. I'm told I'm better as a bad cop, but I never want to be the bad cop.
Okay. Okay.
I always want to be the good cop, but I have what you call, Joe, it's two words, anger management issues. I guess that's three words. Now I'm going to get mad at myself.
It was math, though. Galant and George math.
We don't do that.
We don't do that here.
We don't do that, even though one of us did well in math in school, and I don't know how well you did in math in school.
I mean, my grades said I did okay.
Okay, there you go.
But clearly, they were wrong.
Yeah, once you're done doing it on a regular basis.
Yeah, I mean, when's the last time you did
out
math?
Forever.
Like, last math class I took, I was probably 19. So, here's the thing. It's not about complaining, to be fair. It's concerning. You pay Christian Javier, and he's throwing 88 miles an hour. A couple years ago, he's consistently throwing 92, 93. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball. This is the guy that helped throw a no-hitter in the postseason, in the World Series. He looked nothing like that last night. And I think it's fair to question why he's on the Astros right now and why Jose Urquidy is not. Why is one of their approaches much more patient in waiting for Urquidy to be ready when he's throwing 60, 65-plus pitches in the minors? Is it because they feel like he's not healthy? Maybe. They won't give the answer. But Javier made one rehab start, and they made the decision to bring him back. And so far, that looks like a bad decision because you are in a hole in which you are digging yourself out of. And last night's performance, thankfully, your offense and Jeremy Pena and Tucker and Alvarez were incredible, and they saved him from last night's game. But, like, it's just – part of it is because I love Christian Javier, too. Like, when they used to put Javier in and out of the bullpen, it would piss me off because it made no sense. I always thought it was clear he was a better starter than he was a bullpen guy, and I wanted the Astros to make a decision. And since they paid him, things just haven't been great. So last night, it's a bummer as someone that is such a fan of his to see him. And I just have questions about the Astros organization. He'll be fine.
But you have questions.
I mean, if it's really just a mechanical issue, like, you have to have faith that they're going to figure it out. If that's truly what it is, you have to have faith. They're professionals.
I wonder if it is mechanical issues, though. Velocity dropping significantly like that, it does feel like something's up. And again, I'm just a sports talk show host that can't do math. But something's up. And generally, if you had the pitching depth Wouldn't you want to shut him down for a little bit?
Yeah, maybe use him to time to figure it out. That is part of the problem.
Maybe he's back because of a lack of depth, and they said, "Hey, you got to have to tough it out for a little bit." I mean, we don't want to bring back Joe's best friend Blair Henley.
Hey, I wasn't going to say his name today.
You didn't have to. You don't have to. We could move on. I'm just throwing out names. I mean, if you're starting Hunter Brown on a regular basis at this point, it is because you're kind of effed when it comes to your depth.
Hunter Brown on the mound today in about 40 minutes from now as the Astros take on the Angels in Game 3 of this series. When we get back, soft boys. Who's soft? Who's not? That's next here in Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Before we go to break, I want to tell you about my friends at LaBerge Lake Charles. 19 betting kiosks inside the sports book. Great restaurant. Chef Lyle, he's incredible. He's got all different kinds of food, wings, burgers, whatever you want, you can try there. Nachos, I think we got last time, Sean and I, when we were there. Paul got a steak the last time we were there, and it looked delicious.
It was very good.
So it's a great place to go. It's a fun place to bet on sports. All the TVs, all the betting kiosks. And the great thing about LaBerge, too, is there's more than that. There's the full casino, nice restaurants inside the entire property as well, and a full pool with a lazy river on the outside as well. LaBerge Lake Charles should be the place for you when you leave Texas and want to bet on your favorite Texas teams. And before you do, make sure you download the Penn Play app and win up to $2,000 in Penn Play cash.
ESPN 97.5.
Soft boys, in a tough sitch. Ime Udoka thinks you're a bitch.
Okay, this first person on Soft Boys is we broadcast live from on Gallant and George here at Highway Cantina. We'll be here until 6 o'clock. Us still 3, B still 6. Joel and Jeremy will both be here today. Stunner!
On time?
Maybe. But this person might be the number one soft boy of the year. There was a... the Eagles did a Autism Challenge 10K on Sunday. Everyone was riding bikes for this, okay?
So it's a 10K on bikes.
That's a 10K on bikes.
That's not very far.
To start, that might be soft. But you know what? You do you, Eagles, whatever. But A.J. Brown is maybe the softest person of 2024. He used an electric bike. Everyone participating in this 10K is using a normal bike. They're pedaling around. And he said, "I'm working smarter, not harder." No, dude.
And he's doing that in Philadelphia, so it's a little extra soft because this is a salt-of-the-earth town, you know?
Yeah.
I think they would think somebody that has a bicycle with an electric motor is some bougie cake eater who doesn't represent the soul of Philadelphia. Rocky, a fictional boxer who they idolize because their sports have been so bad for much of their history. I hate that they beat the Patriots in a Super Bowl. It sucks. We're doing a little math here on the Gallant and George program. It's always a little difficult for us. 10K in miles is 6.2.
Mm-hmm.
During the pandemic in Seattle, I used to routinely run 3 miles. I'm not acting like that's a lot. Basically, my knees would give out after three miles or so. 6.2 miles is pretty easy if you're an NFL player.
Big time.
It's pretty easy.
Super easy.
I honestly think 6 miles on a bike, I don't know the speed that you're going, but I think most people are capable of being able to go 6 miles or so on a bike. In fact, I feel like you'd probably be able to make that happen.
You can glide for most of it.
You'd probably be able to, I mean, in Houston, good luck, you'll probably get hit by a car and die. But
I mean, the potholes alone.
And on top of that, people here do not like bikers. It's critical mass's fault. But and there's no bike lanes, which is a sticking point for some people. But then again, sometimes, you know, the person who dresses up like Lance Armstrong, who's in the all-spandex suit, who's taking up the middle of a lane, that person sucks too. So, but anyway, to bring it back to this, just about everybody is capable, in my opinion, of riding 6 miles on a bicycle in probably 40 minutes or less.
Yeah, I would think that's fair.
Yeah.
At worst, an hour, if you're real slow.
If you're stopping, if you're stuck in traffic.
Yeah, like, it's not that hard. So this is super soft, right?
I think, especially since, you know, it's a charity event.
Yeah.
I don't know. Unless you're advertising this electric bicycle, which maybe he was,
That's what I wonder. If like if we miss that part of the story where
I don't care. Let's
he's
ignore
promoting it.
That's
I
soft.
Agree.
That's
it's very soft.
Soft.
It's very soft. Netflix, welcome to the soft boy.
Oh, boy, this is a bad one,
I guess this
one,
is
man.
AMC. AMC.
AMC, right. AMC, which, of course, has been a powerhouse in the past, you know, because
yeah.
they had Breaking Bad and they had Mad Men. They used to have all these great TV shows.
And now they're a pretty good movie channel. Like, you'll find good movies
if,
on there.
If you can tolerate commercials, yes.
Yeah. So now, before we reveal the movie, this message pops up. Before one of the best movies of all time. It says, this film includes language and or cultural stereotypes that are inconsistent with today's standards
That's
of
debatable.
Inclusion and tolerance and may offend some viewers. Apparently, we should also put that before our show because Paul says, Ergetti.
Hey, Abagu.
Because this warning is before Goodfellas.
I mean, look, Goodfellas is a violent movie, so if you don't like violence, okay, I understand that. But, wait a second. This film includes language and or cultural stereotypes inconsistent with today's standards? Is this Italians complaining about the way they're being depicted? Because I can tell you this. Italians, at a time, they did hate mob comparisons.
Yes.
But now that the mob's not really a thing.
And the mob's irrelevant.
They kind of like it.
Yeah.
They kind of like it.
It's like the... It's just a great movie.
It is a great movie. I mean, Joe, the other day, I decided to go on Disney Plus because I'm canceling my subscriptions. It expires in a couple of days. And I thought to myself, you know what I haven't seen in a while? I think I heard some Robin Williams stand-up or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Or someone impersonating Robin Williams on a podcast. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch Aladdin.
Oh,
Aladdin had a disclaimer before that one,
Oh, that
too.
Doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me.
Everything's got a disclaimer
Pocahontas,
before
Pocahontas, they all have them now.
Yeah.
Like, I get it, okay? Like, this isn't the first time we've seen stuff like this happen. If you go on Peacock, where The Office is not being watched, there are scenes that are no longer in the Peacock version of the show that are in the original version of the show. If you remember the, what's the German guy? The bad guy that comes on Christmas that Dwight portrays in the show? I can't remember his name. But most of that...
Was he Hitler? Because I would
no,
understand it.
It's like this like devil character that like kidnaps children at Christmas.
Oh,
and
the Krampus?
Yes.
They took the Krampus out?
Yeah, because he has blackface.
Oh.
So they took that whole like section of the show, even though that's not what the... Like, he's not doing that. But just because there's a chance people will be offended, they took it out.
So you can be a Canadian prime minister having done blackface, but you can't if you're doing a TV show and you're doing an episode about the Krampus. Interesting.
Yes, yeah. So this isn't new that these things have had.
These damn wokes ruining
Honestly,
our TV.
So here's the thing. I think that's what's next where they're going to try to hit our wallets on streaming services. Is that there's going to be like a woke-free price.
I like this.
Where it's like, okay, there's going to be nothing's cut out, everything as is, no disclaimers, every F-bomb, like, and that's what they're going to do. And you're going to have to pay extra money to get the woke-free version of television shows and movies.
Slowly I'm converting you.
I've always been like this.
Slowly, I'm just made. I mean, listen. I thought you were liberal Joe.
That's what no. That's what Junior Bronco says. And he has no because I'm from Illinois.
Oh, that's true.
In which
you are the reason Lori Lightfoot exists.
The state in which 80% of the state votes Republican, but because Chicago is so large, it's a
Democratic really?
State.
That's what it is. It's crazy.
Most of like, if you look at a map, it's very similar to Texas, right? Where like, you know, Houston, San Antonio. Austin, Dallas will often be Democratic in an election, but the rest of the state around it is red.
Oh,
Illinois
wow.
is the exact same way.
I grew up in Massachusetts, also known as Taxachusetts, and I had no idea how liberal the state was because of my dad growing up. Like, I had no clue. I thought everyone was Republican. I thought it was so weird that it's like the most liberal state in the country. I had no idea because of my dad.
And
anyway.
Last one here. This to me it seems like, I don't know who KJ Martin is listening to. I don't know which Rockets podcast or which Rockets Twitter account or whatever he's looking at, but yesterday, it was yesterday, he went on this tweeting, not tirade, but he put three tweets out there. He started with this. He said, I'm tired of seeing y'all say that my dad forced me out of playing in Houston. He had nothing to do with it. He has his own opinion to say what he wants like everyone else. It was strictly NBA business on why I got traded. Nothing more, nothing less. And then blah, blah, blah. I love Houston. All that's great. Here's the thing, KJ. Kenyon, your father, went on podcast and said, you're not playing enough. He said he's not happy with the organization, with the role you're playing on this team. So while he may not have exactly forced his hand, he was a dad at Toyota Center walking up and down the aisles, because I saw it in person, screaming about your playing time like it was AAU basketball, dude. So, like, maybe he didn't force you out, but he's still an AAU dad and you're a grown-ass man.
Teams don't like to have loud parents in the backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason that we haven't heard a lot of LeVar Ball over the last couple of years. Ever since his son's made it to the pros,
he's got new issues.
Well, honestly, yeah, his son needs to learn how to drive. He's a crap driver, just based off of what we saw a video of, not the one where he ran over the 11-year-old. 11-year-old soft, foot broken by LaMelo Ball driving like a maniac. The thing about KJ Martin saying this, no one really cares about KJ Martin. I mean, KJ Martin wasn't that good of a player on a bad Rockets team.
And it's one
of the reasons that I have tend to stay away from online Rockets media is that people were acting like he was a plus player at all. I was like, no, he's related to a guy who was really good in the NBA, one of the better college basketball players of the last 30 years or so. But, dude, no one really thinks about you that much. And if you're so on Twitter that you're paranoid or butthurt about people suggesting that you do that, then you need to get off social media. But no one's talking about you.
I have not seen a single person bring up KJ Martin in a discussion. We mentioned him last week.
I forgot he was in the NBA until last night.
Making fun of people that were overreacting to him being traded, and he's an irrelevant basketball player now. Guys like him and Josh Christopher, that, you know, because these Rockets fans think that every role player is the next coming of Jesus Christ. But it is just, I don't know. This is a weird one. This seems like a very making a big deal out of nothing, I would say.
Yeah, I can understand being sensitive about your dad being in his shadow. And, I mean, by default, you're going to be. It's going to be hard to be better at a sport than your dad was when your dad was really good at Cincinnati in college and also like a key part of a Eastern Conference perennial NBA Finals contender mm-hmm. in the New Jersey Nets. Obviously, that team wasn't that good, but you're always going to have that. Why are you sensitive about this, too?
I don't know.
Whether it is or isn't the case, and I doubt that it was the case that you got traded, like, when you put this stuff out there, people are going to think you're soft because you're, like, reading sort of like the same way that some articles handpick a couple of tweets to say people are angry about X, Y, Z. Like, this is the kind of tweets that he's probably talking about. No one's talking about him at all.
Yeah, it just seems an odd timing for this. There's had to be something that was more behind the scenes. Like, I wonder if there's more in NBA circles of people questioning, you know, him leaving Houston. Maybe it's not just social media. Like, maybe, like, as I believe he'll be a free agent again this offseason, I wonder if his agent is talking about, you know, hey, like, people think your dad forced you out and they're nervous about you, kind of a thing. All right, when we get back, what's the dumbest thing you're addicted to? We'll discuss that next. It's Gallant and George, broadcasting live from Highway Cantina here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highway Cantina in Edo, with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
All right, so this article came out, Paul. Manhattan Law, law student. She was hooked on cheese, and she had to go to rehab for it.
I can't believe that.
It sounds like fat camp.
This is a thing.
Is that what they mean?
I guess. So, yeah, this is a New York University student that clearly seems to have a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
To quote the great Antonio Brown, RIP to his wallet. He is bankrupt now. A Manhattan law school student was so hooked on cheese she had to go to rehab. Adela Kohab said her, this article got a little cutesy, Camembert cravings, I guess that's a kind of cheese, began during junior year at New York University in spring of 2018, where she binged almost daily on the cheapest bricks of white cheddar and Parmesan she could find.
Bricks?
She's eating the bricks. Basically like a giant mouse. I stopped by either Morton Williams or by Whole Foods, and I would just buy cheese. And I would literally just eat a block of cheese with my hands, says Kohab, 27 years old. Often while sitting on the floor of her midtown apartment, alone in the dark. Okay.
So she's sitting like just in the dark, just like crushing a block of Parmesan.
Joe, this girl is a rat furry. This girl is dressing up in a rat costume as a furry. And yeah, she became addicted to cheese, but she supposedly, Joe, spent $10,000.
10 grand?
On rehab.
Oh, my God.
For her cheese brick addiction.
I mean,
she's definitely a furry. There's no debating that. She's sitting on the floor alone in the dark eating cheese. She is impersonating Mike Fires.
I know, like, we probably shouldn't make that was a good joke. I know we probably shouldn't make fun of people with addictions.
Yes, we should. We too bad. Should because here's
it's
the thing:
it's a cheese addiction.
There. Well, look.
Like, this is an alcohol addiction.
Addiction is a problem, but at the same time, it's a problem that becomes a problem because of issues with self-control, which we all have. So everyone mm-hmm. deals with, I think, various degrees of addiction. Everyone says that they have an addictive personality. I know I do with a couple of different things. You're allowed to make fun of some of these things. You are.
Absolutely.
And I feel like in 2024, we've gotten to a point where if you have an addiction, it's like a shield for any of your responsibilities.
Yeah.
You don't get called out for things that you should get called out for, whether you have an addiction or not. Like, okay, you have an addiction. You did something that you shouldn't have. Well, you have an addiction. You still did it.
Yeah, you still did
like, it. Like, oh, that makes it better because you were addicted. Like, yeah. We saw a couple of stories, Joe, when we were talking about all these gambling incidents where these guys yeah. were saying, hey, I'm a gambling addict. Well, you still stole millions of dollars from Shohei Ohtani or from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mm-hmm. The two most recent stories yep. like that.
Let's see. Old School says here on the Twitch, she's the cheese narco. VBW, bet her voice is mousy.
Yeah, probably.
Text line here says...
Silly Simon wants to know if she's single.
My guess is, dude,
he's a furry, I bet.
Also, you probably don't want to.
What if she's like...
Stanky farts.
What if she's smoking hot and like totally ripped despite her cheese
okay,
addiction?
Okay, let's go there.
I doubt she is.
All right, Paul. You go on a date, and she says, "Let's go back to my place." And before, before the night can get real good, she says, "I'm going to go sit in a room alone, turn off the lights, and eat a half a brick of cheese." How hot does she have to be for you not to leave?
She's attractive. I'll stick around. Sorry, I'm a man of.
What if it's blue cheese?
I mean, look.
That's a little stinky. That's stinky.
I think cheese is gross. I think cheese is moldy milk.
That's right, you do. I always forget that.
I'm also lactose intolerant.
That's right. Like, she might have to be like Giselle for you to do it, I thought.
No, but I mean, again,
you hate cheese.
I'll just pretend. Yeah, but again, she's eating it. I'm not. As long as I'm not eating it, I'm okay.
But you're going to smell it?
The smell isn't that bad.
Yeah, I got you. What's the weirdest thing you're addicted to? Text line here from the 832. I'm addicted to collecting fitted hats. Sup? Same.
Hawaiian shirts. Binge watching television shows I've already seen.
Okay.
Video games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think those are really my big three.
Yeah. Video games for sure. Buying hats. Dip.
Still fighting the dip.
We're in a better place. I don't feel addicted anymore.
You do the mint thing that Granada promotes.
I do.
I'm kind of
going back and forth.
Okay.
It was hard. I tried to do a hardcore withdrawal again, or just stoppage again, and it was killing
me. Have you done Zins?
Yeah, I don't like it.
You don't like Zins?
No, I didn't like it.
I've done Zins.
I had tried a couple different flavors, and I didn't like the flavors.
I liked Zin. I was like, oh, damn. Nicotine that I actually would get addicted to.
So stop?
Yeah, I did. I just did it the once, and I was like, oh, shoot, I'm dizzy. I'm staggering around here. But yeah, like I can't. Like cigarettes, I've never understood cigarettes because they smell bad. But also, like three of my grandparents passed away from smoking, so
yeah.
I've never wanted to.
If you ever see me with a cigarette,
you've been drinking.
Call me an Uber.
Oh yeah, you're drunk. Like, gotcha. So did you use that a lot?
Yes.
Okay. That is a thing for a lot of people.
If I'm asking someone for a cigarette outside a bar, I drank too much that night. So. If you ever see me, like, outside Highway Cantina and I've got a cigarette in my hand,
got a butt, dude? Got any butt skin?
Say, Joe, go home.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting.
I do love cigars also, though. Cigars are great.
Well, cigars are great, but cigars are like a once in an every now and then kind of thing for me.
They would be more often if it wasn't so mosquito-y outside.
Mm. I've only smoked a cigarette once in my life, and it was because I was told it was weed. Some a-hole gave it to me on my 21st birthday.
Dude, that's tough.
This is at like and sorry for saying this word, rapiest frat at Syracuse University.
Which fraternity was it?
No comment.
Why not?
Crow. Okay. The place was just an absolute dump. It was terrible. The guys were all creepy. And they were mad that my bestie, the one who transferred to USC, who I was madly in love with, brought me to this party. So they were trying to F with me. So they gave, and I was hammered. It was my birthday. So they gave me what I thought was a weed cigarette. I got it, and it was an actual cigarette. So I took a huge drag. I was coughing for like a minute.
That's tough.
And then they tried to give me, and I was still sober enough to realize this. They said, hey, have this beer, drink it down. And it was with a goldfish in it. Yeah, effed up. I saw the goldfish, and I was like, are you serious? And it was one of their just absolute animals in this frat drank it. That was the last thing I remember.
Oh, you ever eaten the worm?
In a tequila?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that there were any.
Same.
I've heard the song.
I thought it was a joke.
Yeah, I've never seen one.
And then I saw someone do it in Mexico, and I was like, what is happening right now? Like, I didn't think it was a real thing. I think that's everything. I think that covers it for me, everything I'm addicted to.
I mean, I probably watch a little bit too much of something that's frowned upon.
Oh, yeah. Can't access it all the time anymore.
See, that's the thing. Texas is, well, listen, I mean, maybe that's my problem is that I still find ways, if you will. I'm curious to what other people are, like just things that you're not traditionally hearing about when it comes to addiction. Cheese, though, I doubt anyone can talk.
Yeah, cheese is a bizarre
rat cosplayer.
One. Yeah.
This 100%.
Yeah, cheese is a weird one. I'm trying to think, like, even like, what would qualify as the closest thing for, like, food for you? Like, is there something, like I know you meal prep and you're trying to be healthy. So, like, I wouldn't count that.
Well, I mean, it's all carbs. Like, if there's bread in my place. Last night I had I got saltines in case of an emergency.
Yeah.
And I just ate a sleeve last night for
Dude.
No reason. It's saltines.
Same. Not last night, but I will do the same thing. If I touch a saltine, I'm going to keep going.
I eat the whole sleeve. And the funny thing is, as I watched something I've already seen before. It wasn't a TV show. It was a movie. And I was like, okay, it doesn't count. But as I was watching The Batman, and Sean will love this, as like one of the detectives says to the Batman, you son of a bitch. I'm just chawing away at a sleeve of saltines, wondering to myself, wait a second. Is crackers in reference to, as an insult, is that in reference to white people being boring, or is it to the whole, you know, like the cracking of the lips thing? And I thought to myself that moment, like, oh, I thought that crackers were called crackers because saltines are white and boring. and then I thought about it. So it was a come to Jesus moment last night for me where I learned that cracker doesn't necessarily mean white and boring.
Gotcha.
But yeah, crackers and those flavored Oreos. Like the special flavored ones.
Really?
Some of them. Yeah. There's only a couple. Like there's these Sour Patch ones that just came out. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, gross.
But they've had like key lime.
I wouldn't even
carrot
want to try
cake,
this.
Cinnamon bun.
Cinnamon buns.
Gingerbread.
The cinnamon Oreos are.
The cinnamon buns and the gingerbread ones I would eat on my way home. And I'd eat half the package. And then I'd puke. because I couldn't handle the sugar.
Coca-Cola for me. I've toned it down a lot, but it used to be really bad.
Vanilla Coke.
It was so good.
Is the greatest drink ever.
Yeah.
I love me some booze. I love my tall Texan margarita here at the Highway Cantina that I'm drinking right now. Come on out. We're going to be here until 6. But Vanilla Coke, when it came out in like 01, 02,
yeah, yeah.
Like that was my – when my parents split up and I would go to my dad's house every other weekend.
Yeah.
My mom wouldn't let us drink soda. My dad always had a couple 2 liters of Vanilla Coke waiting for me. I was like, Daddy gets me.
So we need to do some Vanilla Coke and Pendleton at some point here, Paul. Let's give it a shot.
Here's the thing. As much as I love Pendleton, I love Vanilla Coke so much.
I just want
the Vanilla Coke.
I understand. I'll see a couple things here. BBW says, I'm addicted to chips and salsa at Mexican restaurants. Well, let me tell you something. Then get your ass to Highway
this
Cantina.
This salsa verde, I'm just staring at it.
We've been snacking on it the entire show. Lone Ranger says pistachios and sunflower seeds.
I love pistachios, but I think I'm allergic to them.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you do typically just eat things that are allergic. You're allergic to them.
Yeah, like whey protein. Yeah.
Grinded on coffee and whiskey says root beer with some tacos. Interesting.
Huh.
Root beer and tacos.
Barks. Are you a Barks or a, what was the other kind?
A&W?
Mug,
yeah.
Barks. Oh, yeah, A&W. I forgot.
Have you ever had a Not Your Father's root beer?
No, does that have alcohol in it?
It's alcohol, yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty good.
That sounds good.
From the 832, fought off a milkshake addiction. All jokes aside, I'm currently addicted to crawfish. Same.
Even with in this economy?
Yeah, man.
Aren't they really expensive right now?
Yeah, they're like 10 a pound.
Jeez.
But they're so good.
They are good, but I love them, but it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
I don't know if at this price right now, I don't know if they're worth.
The thing is, they've been like this, though, for like 2 or 3 years.
Uh-huh.
I feel like it's been in this ballpark, and that just kind of makes me feel like it's never changing, so I've kind of just figuring, like, this is where we are now. This is life. This is where we are. King of Twitch says those Sour Patch Oreos are actually not that bad. Good for you, man, for trying something that like that. Hard pass. All right, when we get back, are we down with Dana Brown? Every week he does interviews, we react, and if we believe the nonsense he typically feeds us, that's next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from Highway Cantina.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.